is recognized as the universal language. Throughout recorded history, music has been used to express the heights and depths of emotion. In heaven, Dr. Percy Cholet saw and heard music such as never been heard here on the earth. He experienced sounds and instruments greater than man has ever known. As Dr. Cholet shares now regarding heavenly music, allow God's Spirit to minister to your need as Holy Ghost glory is revealed as today's reality.
Yes, friends, heaven is truly and really full of all kinds of instruments. The trumpets are sounded and blown at the order of God the Father. Heaven is called to order by trumpets. And when those trumpets sound, and after they stop, then God speaks. In the church in Manaus, the very large church there, Holy Ghost Church, where we attend in the work of the Lord, that is in Manaus, and it's right next to the Catholic Church. There is the big prayer well down below, where there's 200 or 300 praying all the time, and then there's the first floor up above, where the preacher speaks, the evangelist. And it's a big church. We have some big Holy Ghost churches in Brazil. And then on the third shelf, or the third level, it's all on the great auditorium style. We have there one of the greatest trumpet-sounding group you ever saw. Can you imagine 40 trumpets blowing in a church? This church has 12 choirs, our church in Manaus. 12 God's church. 12 choirs. And then the top shelf is where all the sinners go. So you come in, it's quite a kind of a segregated church as far as the Holy Ghost's church. But this is where they took the man from the restroom down in there to the lower well of that church, and where they got him saved. So if you could hear 40 trumpets play at one time, just come to which we call our church in Manaus. So therefore in heaven, but 40 churches, 40 trumpets in the church, is nothing to heaven. Can you imagine 500,000 trumpets blown at one time in heaven? And these trumpets in heaven are 10 times longer than the earthly trumpets, at least 10 or 12 feet long, blowing to the glory of God. And you talk about it, you want several degrees in music. You go to heaven and stay there for a while, and you'll get them up there. Because and all the music players down here, when they leave, you'll go in the angels and be music players in heaven. So, David, get ready to play in heaven, because it's real. But you know, in the book of Thessalonians we read, that is, 1 Thessalonians we read, and here is what it says. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of the voice of the archangel. The voice of the archangel. But there's one thing what Jesus told me was going to happen, was the trumpets of heaven was going to sound to give the order. And God the Father is going to go and say, go down and get the church, Jesus. And you know what an order that's going to be. This is so real and so genuine. And those, when the music stops, the trumpet sounds, and then the bells ring above the throne of God, beautiful bells ringing all in unison at the souls getting saved upon this earth, prayer bells of heaven. And in heaven there are many instruments, cymbals, 15 feet across the front of them, and angels playing those together, cymbals, all sizes, down to about 6 inches across them. This is how they get the scale. They get the actual scale in heaven out of cymbals. Then the triangles the same way, thousands of triangles hanging there, and angels beating these triangles. And as these triangles, these wonderful triangles, as they're being played, they play absolutely the scale. Not just beating them like you did to call everybody to dinner. We had a triangle on my grandfather's place. When it was dinner time, I'd beat that old triangle because I was hungry. Right on the dot of 12 o'clock, and all the employees had come running. What are the triangles for in heaven? The triangles are for to call to order that music's going to be played. when these triangles are beat or rung by like a piece, just like a piece of steel, they ring around those triangles and that sound starts and then the triangle stops. Then the cymbals, the loud sounding cymbals, they start up and then the music starts. Music in heaven, man, I want to tell you that's something. I was in a church one time and the fellow said, well, we just don't believe in music in this church. I said, you don't? He said, if you actually had been believed in playing a guitar in the worship of the Lord, said you'd been born with a guitar in your hand. I said, do you have seats in your churches? You have seats in your churches? You understand what I mean? What I'm saying by that, if they had seats in the churches, and if it was that so, they'd have been born one of those on them. Here's what he said. He said, well, I just can't believe in music. I said, are you going to heaven? Yeah, I'm going to heaven. I said, you sure better get use for music up there because heaven's full of music. But they did have a little sounding fork they'd play with. And I said, my, sounding fork. But I didn't say, but they had sounding forks in heaven. Sounding forks, you know. When I saw those sounding forks, 1,000 sounding forks. So any kind of music in heaven, you got it. And you got also marimbas. Now, can you imagine marimbas so big, so beautiful marimbas, and angels playing those marimbas? But he said that all the musicians that play for Jesus upon this earth are going to be going to the music department of heaven. In the music department, so I'm going to tell you, in heaven, you're going to spend all the rest of your life up there playing music in heaven. So you get all the music you want up there, David. So then also the tambourines. Thousands of tambourines playing. But the most beautiful sight I saw about music in heaven was the great big harps playing. Can you imagine a harp so big and so tall, angels playing as harps? And I said, Jesus, can I sit all among these instruments in it? Now, I used to play a trumpet. You know, I used to play it. So I said, well, he said, here, said, you can just learn in 2 minutes how to play any instrument you want. So I jumped over that piano and I made that piano ring. Oh, hallelujah. Never took a piano lesson in my life, but I played it in heaven. See, you get it all in a minute. I took that great big trumpet, 15 feet long, and played it in heaven. And oh, was it so easy to play. Heaven is a place of music. You go back to Africa in the early days. There the Africans had music. And if you take the music of America or this music, a lot of the sounds and types of music was brought here by the black people of this country and taken up by the different bands and so forth. But let's get the bands converted upon this earth, converted, that they can be playing for God, because it's no use you musicians out there playing in that junk joint or that nightclub having to spend in the outer Bremerton 2,000 years learning how to play the heavenly music. You better get out of that earthly playing music, get out of it, and come into the heavenly playing music and play the music to the glory of God, because music in heaven. Then organs. You know organs. I often wonder, well, about an organ. When I was a boy in the church, we had an organist playing. There's a great big pipe organ, and you had to pump that one. And you had bellows on the side, and I used to pump that organ sometime for the organist. Big old organ, pump it. And they'd play that organ, big. I thought, my, that's the biggest thing I ever looked at. Just a little old boy, about 10 years old, pumping that organ for the organist in that Anglican church, for pumping it. When I got to Oxford and got confirmed, the Bishop of Oxford lay his hands on my head, and then they started playing that music, the beautiful music in Christ Church. I was recommended there by the Bishop of Oxford for ordination. But we got ourselves ready to go to that beautiful, great, big cathedral. And the organ of Christ Church is one of the most beautiful organs of the world. And I remember there were several of us getting there, kneeling down at that big altar in Christ Church. And the Bishop of Oxford came along, and we had communion. He laid his hands upon us. And he was a wonderful man. Now, that man believed in God. He didn't drink, smoke, chew, do anything. He was a wonderful man, the Bishop of Oxford. And he laid his hands and he come and he said to me, we're going to play this organ for you. You boys and girls are going to play this organ for you. I was all dressed up in pretty white, you know, pretty white suit on, and they'd fixed my hair all up beautiful, and my shoes were shining because I was gone to Oxford to get confirmed by the Anglican Church. Then the music played, that organ set up, and this organist comes specially from London to play this beautiful organ, and he played it. So then, and I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could learn to play that organ? And I went up there, and after it was all over, and just touched one of those keys, and all it went was perp. That's all I could get out of it, nothing but that. I couldn't get any music. But you know, in heaven, I said, oh, those big organs. I said, could I play one, Jesus? He said, you know how to play it. You know how, you just go and sit down to it, and they'll play it. So my soul got down to that great big organ and started playing, played heavenly music. All learned how to play an organ in 2 seconds. That's heaven. That's heaven for you. Everything is all knowledge, all truth, and all reality. Look at the time you spend down here learning to do something. Just learn. You try to learn German. You've got to spend 2 or 3 years to learn. You spend time learning to study Aboriginal language. Friends, in heaven, all languages disappear, and there's only one language left up there, and that's the language of God. We'll all speak the same thing in heaven. So here I'm among all this different music. Then I went over, and I took a marimba. I couldn't play a marimba down here. But I got on that marimba with the rest of the angels, and I was just beating away as fast as they were. And I got on the harp, and I played the harp. I went around heaven at a time for several earthly hours, playing all instruments of heaven. But then he said, this is not going to be your job in heaven. I said, mine? Oh, I said, this is so wonderful, being learned how to play. No. No, he said, you're going to be an instructor in heaven. You're going to instruct, you're going to help in the administration of heaven. And you know, I studied international law, and you know, international law is quite a complicated law, canon law and international law. I studied very thoroughly, and learning how to make documents and these kind of things, internationally speaking. But in heaven, you see, we'll have an administration up there. An administration of heaven be all under the direction of God, and I'm going to have a job in heaven helping administer God's word in heaven. Woo! What a thing for me to be doing. Working directly in the administration department. And so then we go back to these instruments. Then there's also these great pianos. Now we have the Steinway piano. That's a great German piano, and it's supposed to be one of the good ones. We have all Kimball pianos and all kind of pianos. But the one that I played up there was 55 feet across the front of it, and there was 10 angels helping me play that. Hallelujah. And it was so big, and when I touched that key, it went, oh, so beautiful sound, and it went right into my body. So I helped the angels play the piano in heaven. But you're all things to all men upon this earth, but in heaven, you're all things for all angels, for one another spirit. And then there's not even male or female. Now remember this. You say, what's the women? One lady asked me, said, what's the women going to do? There's going to be no women in heaven. She said, what? No women in heaven? I said, no women in heaven. Well, she said, how about the males? There's going to be no males. Now, you mean to say, is we no men and women in heaven? No, absolutely no men and women. What? We'll be all one. There'll be neither male nor female. We'll be all celestial beings in heaven forever. So that'll do away with all quarrels and all jealousy right there. That'll do away with all of it, won't it? So here you are. You'll be a celestial being in heaven. You won't worry about your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your mother, your sister, worry. But I saw my mother in heaven, and I saw her. She looked just like she was, but she said, I'm not a female anymore. I'm a spiritual being, the soul in heaven. Can you imagine that? So that's heaven to be. In heaven, there's neither male nor female, so we'll come into the same category in heaven. We'll all be one. And then these pianos, as they were playing to the glory of God, and I'll tell you, no man will be able to lord it over a woman up there, or a woman lord it over a man. We'll be all the same. That's going to be real beautiful. But you won't feel the inferiority. You won't feel inferiority up there. You won't feel it. Why won't you feel it? Because we'll be all of the same power and the same glory and the same reality of God. Now, God is what you would call like the male, the man type. So then we'll all be of the man type. Now, that's different than being a male. We'll be all of the man type. Women will be of the man type. We'll all be of the man type. And what I mean by the man type, we will all be the same as God. In other words, God created man in his own likeness. And he took out the rib, according to the Bible, and created Eve. So then woman is a part of man. But woman brings man into this world. Without the women, we couldn't have any children, be no children at all. But going back to the instruments of heaven, the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful harps and the wonderful trumpets. Now, if you can think of thousands upon thousands of trumpets playing, and it's on this fashion. The fashion of the order of music is this. The instruments of heaven are always playing night and day except. And it don't hurt your ears. You know, every guy was up in by the Canadian border one time, and I come by one of these places that was playing rock music or hillbilly music or something in there, and I stepped inside just a minute, and I said it burst my ears clear open. But the wonderful reality about heaven is this. It doesn't hurt your ears. And I was in here, and where we're making these tapes, and David Oakes plays music. And real heavenly music doesn't hurt your ears, David. It doesn't hurt them because it's absorbed into your spiritual body. And as you become spiritual, it's different than when a man of God plays the instruments. It's different. But heaven is full of angels playing instruments. Then here's the order. The instruments are always playing, except when the trumpets blow. The trumpets do not blow along with the other instruments. The trumpets are a separate part of the heavenly music, and the trumpets are only to be ordered to play by God. Now, when the rapture takes place, God's going to order those trumpets to blow. And the trump of God is going to sound. The trump and the trumpet of God is going to sound. And those trumpets are coming outside of heaven. All the angels with the trumpets is coming out of heaven. And they're all coming to announce the great wedding supper of the Lamb. The music come outside of heaven? Now, yes. When we were in the jungles, we heard the heavenly chorus sing at heaven. Now, that was coming out. They come out of heaven. They come into the outer space, and then they set up, and that's what you can hear down upon this earth. God sends those instruments outside of heaven to play in the outer space to entertain the stars. So when the great rapture takes place, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the trump of God, the trump, and that I ask them about that scripture, and you know what it says? It should be in there, the trumpets of God. Not the trump, the trumpets of God. I said, it says the trump of God. I said, what is the trump of God? And the archangel told me, he said, it should be written the trumpets of God. So the trumpets of God are going to sound. Trumpets of God, angel, and with the trump of God. Now listen to it. The voice of the archangel. And let's put it, the trumpets of God. The trumpets of God are going to play. God's going to send those trumpets outside of heaven. This is a message to the earth I'm giving to you now. It's going to happen. So can you imagine a million trumpets coming outside of heaven to announce the call of the wedding supper of the Lamb? And there will be those down here that will hear those trumpets. They'll hear those trumpets. Can you imagine? They'll say, my. And he told me the trumpets are going to sound for 30 days, 30 earthly days. And they're going to begin to hear the trumpets sounding, trumpets playing. And you're going to hear, what's that noise? You know, the radios are now getting in touch with the outer world up there, and they're getting sounds. They're getting sounds over the radio. But I want to tell you, they're going to say, well, one of these days we can hear trumpets playing. We've heard trumpets playing. And you know, still they're not going to listen. They say, well, there's some phenomena of happening of the sounds of the earth. And do you know that every sound that's made upon this earth rings around this earth and never stops? Sounds, when you make a noise on this earth, it starts, and they can pick up sounds going back now for 1,000 years. Scientists can do it because the voice of man rings around this earth. But the voice of God is going to speak, and he's going to say, all right, we're ready. We're ready. We give the order. God the Father is going to give the orders, and the trumpets are going to come out of heaven. And those trumpets will come into the outer space and start playing, thousands and thousands of trumpets playing, getting ready for the wedding supper of the Lamb, the great table. And I'll read it again. For this we say, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So what's going to happen when those trumpets sound? Those dead down in the graves are going to hear those trumpets. They're going to hear those trumpets clear down in those graves. And they're going to rise. Can you imagine a body down in the earth, buried in the earth, is going to start waking up and hearing the trumpet sound? You know what they're going to say? It's time to get out of this grave. Let's get out of here. And they're not going to wait for anybody to dig up. They're going to kick the lid off that casket, and they're going to kick the dirt right out, come flying out there, and they come kicking out of there. And I'm telling you, there'll be a powerful people coming out there in the resurrection of the dead, because they're going to hear the voice of God. They're going to hear the voice of God in that grave and come out of there and start sailing up. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. That's going to be the first. They'll start up. And people are going to see the graves opening up, and they say, come on, let's go. And we with it remain. They're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and be the Lord. And the trumpet of God is going to sound. And the trumpets of God will sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now there's clouds. And those clouds are going to be the Spirit of God, not these old steamy clouds. It's going to be the Spirit of God coming over. And where are those clouds going to come from? I'll tell you exactly. Explain to me by Jesus. When the river of life flows, it goes over the fire on the altar of God. And this causes clouds to go over the top of the altar. And these clouds are coming out of heaven. And these clouds will be the Spirit of God hovering over in the skies, in the clouds. And that'll be not these old steamy clouds down here, but it'll be the Spirit of God up there. And then there'll be an anchor up there. And the anchor will be by hooking on to heaven. We'll be up there with that. And all then, after the trumpets come out, then all that music is going to come out of heaven. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Going to come out of heaven at the wedding supper of the Lamb. They're going to be all in outer space. Can you imagine going to a wedding with millions of instruments playing up above? In the wedding supper of the Lamb, angels coming out of heaven to announce the coming of the church, coming out, hallelujah, coming out of the graves. Coming out of the graves and coming up out of those graves, kicking off the top of their lids of their caskets. And amen, and no grave going to hold our body down, as the song says, coming up out of heaven. And I'll tell you, this earth will look like there's been a great excavation here when those top of those graves are all opened up. Come bursting open, meeting the Lord in the air, the notes of the trumpet of the Lord. Heaven is full of music. But this music's going to be in the air. And that music in the air, and this great, there'll be a creation of a great group of tables. There'll be a creation of this great wedding supper. And then there'll be a great crown come down for Jesus. Jesus sit in the midst. And then we'll crown him. Oh, we'll be crowned there. We'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We'll be at the crowning as he's crowned, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then there'll be a great entrance. Hallelujah. And then the music will go back into heaven first, and all take their places. God the Father will be right on his throne. Every part of heaven will have their place. And here comes the church, the glorious church, without spot or wrinkle, coming into heaven. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. Ukarabashanda, as the church enters heaven. And all of those great music's playing. And forever, it says, forever, be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Ever be with the Lord. in the glory world. Friends, please get ready for heaven, will you? Please don't miss it. Please get on your knees now. Please call upon God, because if you miss it. A man told me one day there was no heaven. I said, man, you're taking an awful chance, because I want to tell you, him that believeth, him that has faith, that him that wants, blessed are they, says the Bible, that's part in the first resurrection. Blessed is he. You want to be blessed? Get ready and get part in the first resurrection, because I've been to heaven. And I know exactly what it's like. Heaven is a place I walk with Jesus in heaven. And Jesus instructed me, and very clearly instructed me, to get ready for the great rapture. Reading on more, reading, and it says, wherefore, I'll read this back, then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. That's the clouds coming off the altar of God to meet the Lord in the air. Who's the Lord? Jesus, Lord. What a meeting that's going to be. Can you imagine Jesus coming out from heaven waiting for us with his great arms open wide and his feet there in the air, there to meet us? Oh, our Lord's going to meet us. This same Jesus that went shall come back in great, the same manner, come back into the air. And there it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Do you want comfort this morning? Now, you want comfort this day, this afternoon, or this night, whatever it is? Do you want comfort from the Lord? Then tell your friends and comfort one. And here's what you say. Go to your church on Sunday, or this Sunday, or tomorrow, or next day, or whatever, and say, I want to comfort you this morning, because Jesus is going to come in the air and declare this in a great measure. Declare it and say, Jesus coming soon. I remember when we should stick these signs up in the churches. Jesus coming soon. We better make some signs, put them all over, because the time is short. Why don't we put up signs ever? Just get a great big neon somewhere in Chicago or in New York or someplace where to be seen, and let's put it up in the neon sign, Jesus is coming soon. Oh, what a great testimony that'll be. But can you imagine this old earth giving up her dead? Can you imagine this? Can you imagine that happening? Can you imagine that graveyard, wherever it is, getting rid of the dead? The earth can't hold, the grave can't hold us down. And as we start to go up for the power of the Lord, comfort one another with words. Say, be ready, my friends, because there's going to be a wedding in the air. Going to be a great gathering in the air. Going to be a gathering of God's children. Going to be a gathering in the church. And the church is going to come together. Not have to. We've heard preaching the church must come together. But I'll give the announcement, the church is coming together, and the church is going to be one. And it's so. I know, because Jesus told me it's going to happen. It's going to happen in this last days. Just forget that old wrangling and bickering over doctrine and all that kind of thing, and about how you're going to do this and do that. Just get in the Spirit, and you'll know how to do it, because God is real. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. By my Spirit, so it's a spiritual church. It's a church without spot or wrinkle. Church, and all the way the spots will be taken off, is by and through the glorious power of the living God.
Throughout the centuries, man has organized churches and organizations. There have been divisions and factions. But Dr. Percy Collet has gone to heaven and received the message of the Lord. Today's organizations are ruled by angels. Join us now as Dr. Collet shares with us what Jesus told him regarding organized churches in this last day.
Yes, friends, this is Dr. Percy Collet bringing you a direct message from Jesus from heaven for the churches of this day. If you study Revelation, the book of Revelation, you find very clearly that John on Patmos was also in touch with heaven. And he brought messages from the angel of heaven to the churches. And it said, unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, and thou art, that thou livest and art dead. the angel of the Lord to John on Patmos, gave him instructions to write. This gives us the book of Revelation, the revelation of John on Patmos. I was on that rocky island, and truly it's not much of a place to be thrown there, as John the Revelator spent his time in touch with heaven. But Jesus gave me definite instructions to the churches of this day. And Jesus told me that every church, as an angel overshadowing that church, whether it's a godly church or whatever kind of a church it is, there's an angel over that church. And the angel of those churches have a great controlling power over those churches. In other words, some churches have the spirit of entertainment, a great spirit of entertainment. So then they've got an entertaining angel. Some are real prayer churches. I remember a church years ago in Florida called the House of Prayer. They spend a lot of time praying, and that is a church and a prayer angel. And then there are angels that are great organizationists, angels controlling and operating those churches. Some churches are so big, they got different sections. They got several angels in the churches, one in charge of the Sunday school, another one in the charge of the women's prayer band, another one in charge of another Sunday school angel. But the angels are there, without a question. And here's the way to influence those churches from the type of lethargy they have and the unconcernment that they're in, where they would get into the explosion. He that overcometh, to the overcomer. This message to you is to the overcomer. In order to penetrate and be in contact with angel, it must be the intercessors that overcome the cares of this world. So then, there's a great ministry that Jesus said for the intercessors of this earth to get in contact with the angels of those churches, that they could be influenced. Now, the angels of these churches are such an influence over the churches that they are set in there because the angels are controlled. Those angels are controlled by the men, the boards, and all of those different ones in that church. Because it does say, the angel that sinneth, it shall die. And that's why the churches become dead, because the angel has become dead spiritually as to the glorious power of the living God. So here's a work for the overcomer. To the overcomer is given the power to sit down with God. But I want to read this a little more. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have found thy works perfect before God. Remember how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come to thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know how I will come unto thee. See, these churches that are dead have become so dead. Jesus will come, and they'll be just left there worshiping in a way because they're not watching and waiting. In other words, they're not alive. They're not alive. So this is where the great move of God is going to take place. Those churches must become alive. Now, there's many churches have what you call a projected revival. In other words, a revival of just this type and that type. But then they go right back in the old lethargy, right back in the old way of worship, just a certain kind. So they say, well, we've got to liven this church up. We've got to liven this church up. We've got to have a revival. We've got to be exactly the way it used to be. We've got to liven it up. Now, there's only one way to liven this church up, is for the Spirit of God to get in there and take charge. But first, you've got to influence the angels of those churches. That is the spiritual power over that church. Now, here's a work for the overcoming the intercession. To get in touch with those angels in there, because you have an angel. Get in touch with those angels. In other words, there's power over those churches. And then, when the angel begins to move, then the power of the intercessor will get into that church and will cause that church. Because they themselves, remember, They've got no intercessor in those churches. They just plainly work and read the Bible on Sunday morning, have a Sunday school, go back, and that's all there to it. It's what you call a dead worship. But then this aliveness, so by getting in touch with the wonderful and the powerful reality of God, you find, and the angel, you find it'll work. Now we read a little more. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment. Now here you are. Now, the white raiment in this is the wonderful, 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 wonderful Spirit of God. It's known as the white raiment. Jesus told me the white raiment of the overcomers in this great last day action is the Spirit of God on these overcomers. To be a good intercessor and a powerful intercessor, they must be an overcomer of the things of this world. And be clothed with the raiment which will not blot out. But here it is, thou shalt, oh, hallelujah, the overcomer. For him that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, which before my Father and before his angels. Before his angels. Now notice that. The overcomer is confessed and told before the angels. Therefore, the overcomer has direct contact with God's angels in heaven, because the overcomer is introduced to the angels by God the Father. So then the overcomer, or the intercessor as is known, will penetrate these churches. Now here's how it can be done. In other words, you'll send out Holy Ghost spies into these churches. Jesus told me to send Holy Ghost spies into these churches, to have such a force during the time of the explosion or before, of thousands of overcomers. Now, an overcomer go into that church and sit there and just pray. Don't have to get up and say a thing. Just take that power of the overcomer into that church, and I'll tell you. And you'll be in touch with the angel. You can talk to the angel in there. Say, here, I'm going to show you out and have a lot of power. And then that angel begin to take charge of that church and cause that church to get on fire. Then he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now it's through the Spirit. As Jesus told me, those powerful, powerful overcomers. In other words, they've overcome all the cares of this world. And they become an overcomer, and they have become an intercessor. Oh, you talk about an intercessor. My mother was an intercessor. When she got up in that attic, she come down to prayer. I'm telling you, she got things changed. Oh, she didn't have to do anything. Just come out of that big prayer room up there, which was the attic of the house, come down. And she said a word. And I tell you, you could add all the law you wanted, my father. But when she come down and said these words, things moved in the house by and through the Spirit of the Lord. So here you are. So then you send them out two by twos, as Jesus said. Let's get thousands of intercessors in the last days. Jesus said to organize thousands of intercessors. And he said to organize thousands of intercessors. And this great ministry of the last days of the intercessor of the overcomers, they'll start out and prepare the way for the great explosion. They'll be the ones who go out there, and what will you do in the great explosion? They'll go out and cover the earth. Now, you don't go out there with the idea of not an evangelist, not a preacher, not a Bible teacher, but they'll go out there, and then two of those, and I'm telling you, when they get in there, ooh, what it'll do. They'll get in there, and they'll be in direct touch with God, and you know what'll happen? That preacher may be preaching something that's contrary to the Word of God, and God will close his mouth, and he won't be able to open his mouth. That's right. And the head of the deacon board, he'll wonder what's happening, and they'll start to melt, and then they'll begin to call a prayer meeting. And then they'll say, well, wouldn't it be nice if this church got doing more praying? And then the first thing you know, instead of all that, they'll organize a real intercession of prayer. Now, this is Zion. Now, they'll go right into the midst of Zion. They're still Zion. They're still part of God, but they've got so dead they can't chirp anymore. So then they go in there, and they go in there, and then they begin to get moving. And then here will happen. What will happen? The travail. You see, in the days of the great explosion, that woman, that man will be get down and start groaning. They'll see their condition. They'll start groaning. They'll start groaning out of their bellies. And when they groan, first thing you know, you'll have an altar call that cannot be even touched by preaching. It'll be touched by the glorious power of the overcomer. And this will happen. Jesus said, organize prayer bands. Organize overcomers. Organize intercessor to go through these churches to get them on fire. Just before the explosion comes, this has happened before the explosion comes. Reading on John in the Isle of Patmos, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy. Now these intercessors must be holy men. They must be holy women. They can't be women and men taking part of the things of this earth at all. Their life, as we've got to say, so they'll be a holy intercessor, a holy overcomer, and they'll go in as holy men of God. I remember even back in the 20s when there was men going through in that day and they were trying to help the church, and they'd come in, and beautiful men, beautiful women come in, and when one entered, you could feel their very presence. And you know what? These churches will sense these holy men and holy women. They may say something to you, and here's what they may say. Who are you? Where you come from? But you'll answer with a soft answer. You just answer with a beautiful answer and say, God bless you, brother. I just come to be a part of you, to pray with you. And then this was all told to me by Jesus. So I saw then this very time how the intercessors under the altar of God is working. They are intercessors. They are praying. And remember, these men and women that are under the altar of God have been killed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've given their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're such powerful men under the order of God. They're praying to God the Father up above them of the avenged, to be avenged of their enemy. In other words, to destroy the devil and his power. The devil and the power is their enemy. It's the devil that killed them in the mission field. It's the devil that done. It's the devil that got into the minds of men and women to kill them in the mission field. So they have become prayer warriors, overcomers, and prayer warriors underneath the throne of God. So then these will be prayer warriors, intercessors, organized throughout the land. Thousands of them throughout the land. And to organize this, and they won't just stay around their own church, but they'll go around, not all the time, but go to the Sunday morning, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service. Go in there as spies. They'll be spying out the land. That's Bible. You can call spies if you want to be going in there for the sole purpose of setting that church afire. And how does that church become afire? You could talk to that church 1,000 years, 1,000 days. Won't make any difference because you could argue with them all day and they'll tell you they're right. They'll say, well, we're right. They'll tell you, my, we're right. We're organized. But when you get the fire, now what happens? You build a fire under their altar. When you go in there and you quiet to that altar with them, and man, when they start to pray, that one that's set aside, that preacher, that one's in there, that deacon board, they're going to feel it. Don't forget it. And you won't say, you won't get up and say, well, we're going to start a revival here. By you getting down at that altar and praying, that will start the Spirit of God come in that church and start that moving. Now, I know it's worked. I've tried it myself, and I work. And I went to a church one time, and it was the deadest place I ever got in. I mean, it was just it almost sends you goofy. And I got in there and got to that altar. I began to pray. And they said, is there anything we can do for you? Do you need anything, brother? No, I said, don't need anything. I just want to pray. I was praying away there in a wonderful way, praying to the glory of God. And it began to move. I'll tell you, this gets you. This gets you when you talk about this. This is powerful. This is so extremely powerful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It'll work. I went into that church and I began to pray. Not a noise. Never made a noise. Just prayed quietly to God. Just prayed in the Holy Ghost. Prayed. When I prayed, somebody come. And I just reached out and touched them, and they went bowling over on their back. I touched another way, whatever, Dad, and said who I was or anything. The preacher come, and he went bowling over. And I just quietly went along that altar, and the whole prayer group was laying flat on their face and hadn't said a word yet. Only prayed quietly unto the Lord. And it worked so good that the preacher got up and said, we've had one of the best prayer sessions we ever had. And he said, I can't understand how it happened. He said, it happened all at once. It happened. He said, we better continue on with this. He said, I'm not going to preach Sunday. I'm just going to call them around here to pray. And without a word of preaching, the Lord took over that church. And you know what? Today that church has got over 3,000 members. And when I went in there, it didn't have 300. God increased it that fold. That's the work of an intercessor. That's the work of the power of the Lord to go in and do this. You can go in a Catholic church and do the same thing. You can go in a Methodist church and do the same thing. You can go into any kind of church, Baptist church. You don't have to do a thing. And when you go up, when all you got to do is go up and quietly go to older prayer, and it'll set it on fire. I remember a woman. She was a wife of a policeman. That was years ago. She spent a lot of time in prayer, and so this woman didn't have any place to stay. I said, sister, you got a home here as long as you want it. She came, and I never heard that woman say one complaint or one word. She said, I want you to take me to such a church, will you? I said, yeah, God wants that for me to take you. I got that within her car and the both of them. She got down and prayed, and her husband was a policeman. And her husband said, she's too good to live with me anymore. Said, she's just too good to live with me. I said, my. That must be a good woman. Can't do that. Said, and finally her husband got, and this policeman, big policeman, name was, he came and he just melted with her. Finally. We got in that church and we began to pray. And as we began to pray, and that altar was full of people, and I remember there was a man in there that never forget it. He was something. Teddy, he was something. He was a wicked man. And he came in the altar and he jumped up and he says, God forgive me. This was the start of one of the greatest revivals I was ever in right there. That's how it started. They put up a big tent. I'll never forget it. Put up this great big tent. And they said, we want you now to come and speak. Missionary speaking. And there was also around where that place wasn't said exactly where it was. It was Ferndale, Washington. They had a big skating ring there with a skating ring. And I tell you, it was someplace. Baptist preacher come to see what's going on. All the preachers come to see what all started through this intercession of prayer. And there was a girl coming there. She was a beautiful looking girl. Oh, she was pretty as a picture. She was sweet. She come in there. And she could make a piano talk. Now, it all come through the intercession of prayer. We were having these prayer meetings in the morning in this very place. A boy was raised from the dead in this very place. All happening, and we were a group of what we called ourselves overcomers. And we were overcomers. I'm telling you, I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. I mean it, David, I'm an overcomer. So then, hallelujah, we got in there, and so, you know, when a revival was going full swing, devil's going to show up too. Don't forget that. He's going to show up. And this was a big platform and a big tent. It was so big, I'm telling you. They come, took pictures, flew over with a photographer, and it called out Associated Press. And also, all about those days, they were writing up, you know what they called me? The white shoe missionary, because I had a pair of white shoes on. And that I didn't take any care about that. And then they said, back in the jungles, and he's preaching. But it was the most shortest sermons sometimes get up. And so I asked this man to preach this night when this happened. Whole time preaching. And all he ever said was, Adam, how art thou? And he didn't get any further in his sermon. That's all. But this woman was at the piano. And she was a boogie-woogie playing woman. But she could play the songs, and I mean, she could make that piano talk. And she was in demand. This one was in demand by the Methodists, the Baptists, the Pentecostals, and all great big meetings. She always was there to play. And they said, get this woman. She's a real musician. I said, all right. We'll put another piano in for her. So, you know, if somebody got a regular piano player, they say, well, all you can do is just get another piano, put her piano, and you got two piano players. You don't have to quarrel over one piano. So she was playing away. And I felt in her spirit through discernment something wrong with her. One thing, she felt sexy. You know, she had that stinking sex smell on her. Excuse me for saying these words, but I could smell it. You can smell a devil when you come near him. And you know, but she was getting by with it. So God says, walk over to that piano. And I walked over. I said, lady, do you know Jesus? She jerked. I said, wouldn't you like to have Jesus in your life? See, I knew that she didn't have Jesus in her life. Man, she jumped up for that piano, never said anything like it. She squealed out on top of her voice, said, I'm not saved, I'm a devil. And everybody thought she was an angel, and turned out and confessed she was a devil. She pointed to that one preacher and said, I've been to bed with you. She pointed to another preacher and said, I've been to bed with you. My, what in the world's happening? Another one, I'm telling you, two of those preachers run right out, snooked out through the side and lifted the tent up and got out of there. And she confessed, she said, I've been fooling the people. But those preachers have been fooled. She jumped up at least 3 feet in the air. And that odor, that all around that great big tent, they was just on their faces. Just on their faces. This is the work of the intercessor. To bring out the devil. That's what the intercessor... I tell you, some intercessors get praying. The old devil can't stand that. No way. And you get right there in touch with those. With those, I tell you, this thing is kind of a hard tape, isn't it? But I want to tell you, I've got to do this. If you love you, I'll tell you the truth. Love you, tell you the truth. God gave me this instruction to heaven. Instruction heaven to get the prayer warriors going and to get the intercessors going and get the ones there that are travailed before the order of God. This has got to come before the great influx comes from heaven. So she jumped up in the air. When she did, she landed 2 feet. 1 foot one side of somebody there and one for the other. If that hadn't been God, she'd have squashed her face because she was quite a heavy girl. She fell down there, right there, flopping down between them. And I walked over and I said, devil, come out of her. Devil's come out of her. And I want to tell you, as I'm truthful on this, rats came out of that woman's mouth. Rats. Plain old rats come out. And they come out of that woman's mouth, and there were some women sitting across the front, wouldn't know, the prayer intercessors, and we had about 15 of them. Godly women. Sitting all across the front seat. And they had long skirts on. They took their skirts with their hands, put them around so those rats wouldn't run and get into them. And they were rebuking them, and they went out up the side of that big tent. And then there was a great big white rat come out of that woman. Right out of her mouth. Everybody saw it. Those rats coming out. I mean, that was those sex rats coming out of there. What they call sex rats coming out of there. And then she began to say, said, oh, I feel good. You know that woman? I said, go back and play the piano. And the next night, she played the piano next night, and oh, what a difference. That piano was full of the Holy Ghost. That piano was full of the Lord. Did we have a revival? You know, hundreds came and confessed. And I'm telling you, those preachers come back and cried at the altar of God. And they said, our congregation, I went to their car. Don't put them out. I said, you got a man of God now. Just because he's done something like that, are you going to throw him to the wolves? All you people need to get right with God. And that caused a great revival. What do you do if a man falls by the wayside? You do just exactly like Jesus said. You got a lost sheep. If that lost sheep's out there, you go out there and you bring back that sheep into the fold, back into the 99. That's the love of God. But you see, I didn't throw her out. I got to throw her out. Get out of here, woman. You're a devil. Boy, that would have done no good at all. All that would have done was just made a mess, made it worse than ever. But just saying to her, You need Jesus, quietly whispered in her ear. You need Jesus. She changed. And here's where it comes in this great book of Revelation. God, this is an instruction and a message from heaven. Oh, how I wondered. To him that overcometh goes on, ye that are there, let him hear what the Spirit saith of the church. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith, he that is holy, he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth no man. I know thy works. I have set thee before an open door, that no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not defiled my name. What had that woman done? She had defiled the name of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what she'd done. Defiled the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, going to these churches, brother and sister, that are in this condition, they're playing church, but they're defiling the name of Jesus Christ, defiling his name. By using his name in vain, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. That is taking the name of the Lord in vain. Cleanliness and holiness and purity and in the love of God. But the sinner, you don't just throw him out. You just don't say, throw him out of the church. A fellow said to me one day, he said, I preach 15 out of my church. My, what a kind of a fellow was that. We preach them in, not preach them out. Preach them in, and not all people in the church are saved, but the sinners, the tares and the wheat grow up together. But you can bring them to the Lord. So back in heaven, this was the instructions of the Lord to do and bring this message to the earth. And this has got to happen before the great and glorious explosion from heaven. Then I saw in heaven, underneath the altar, these great women of God who had given their life for Jesus. And I went under the altar with them. I said, can I pray with you a while? And I went under that altar of God with them, to pray with them, praying. And I'm telling you, those precious souls, laid their hands on me under the altar of God. I got my hands laid on by them. And I want to tell you, coming out of heaven, my brothers and sisters, I've nothing for me down on this earth. I want to see this ministry grow and explode to the great measure of where we will run the devil out of his territory. And it doesn't take a lot of words. All it does to do it is to declare the name of Jesus Christ. My brother, God bless you.